You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
I want you to imagine a firehouse in like a super sleepy town that hasn't had a fire in a long time. At about 11 o'clock last night, that was this show with firefighters who weren't expecting a fire running in every direction, where Cortez is running off to WEEI to see if he can call. Taylor's running off to make a parade of gas bags. A video, have you had time to put up on the screen, please? The exclusive footage we have of Boston fans leaving their arena early. What they lost their, what, four or five times all year. One of the most overwhelming offensive efficiency in the history of the league. For all the talk of Miami's perfect game and perfect shooting, holding Boston in the second half to 40 points, that offense, and making those people go home early when they have the highest of expectations for that basketball team. And we got yesterday what I think none of us was expecting, which is, oh, that feeling from last year. That delightful feeling from last year where they can make it a series. And at the very least, what you get from last night is the glorious thing you didn't think you were going to get is the next 2 days, Boston fans have to sit in, oh, shit, wait a minute. Am I worried about this? And worse than that, Tatum has to look at Porzingis and be like, are you okay with us going through you during the playoffs when all of the mismatches are going to be you and you can have the turnaround jumpers if you want them and maybe not all 7'3" guys can pass like Jokic can? And what they did by game plan to Boston yesterday requires them to play a perfect game. Perfect shooting, best they've ever had. I shouldn't say perfect because they turned the ball over a lot in the first half, but they were 13 for 24 on threes in the first half and were down by three. I don't feel like anybody is going to talk about the defense in that second half and how it is you choke out. After Brown hits the three-pointers and does the heat check thing, and I'm going to keep shooting because I'm Jaylen Brown, and I'm going to go into the second half with, Miami, we're not afraid of you. You just had your best first half we've seen in the playoffs shooting, the best total game we've seen shooting from the Heat in the playoffs ever, probably, I would say. Like, it's not just making more threes. Everything that they were shooting from every guy who was shooting, except for Duncan Robinson, everything was going in. That's how you have to beat that team. I don't believe they could do that four times in seven games, but you've put that doubt there for everybody. Now everybody is thinking something. I don't know if the Celtics are thinking it, but everyone is thinking something they were not thinking 4 quarters ago.
The thing that was crazy about those threes, Dan, is they created 23 wide open threes according to the stat tracking data. So this wasn't just making threes that were contested and it being fluky. It was an offensive execution to be able to get everyone wide open. And that had to do with Bam setting screens on offense, creating more room for Tyler Hero to operate. It was a perfectly executed game from those two players who have been doubted by a lot of people on a lot of different shows, including this one.
Jeremy, you are not allowed to take a victory lap considering you are part of the parade of gas bags today.
It's bullshit.
Oh, no. Let's hear it. It's hard to see how the Miami Heat are going to win a game in that series.
They're a joke right now. Everyone's laughing at them.
This team is not going to, more likely than not, even pull off one game against the Boston Celtics this year.
Tyler Hero! Not good. Not a fan. Bye. Just bye.
It's not a code red, because if you take out Jason Tatum, the Celtics are still sweeping the Heat. So slow down, Scalabrine.
Yeah, give my Ruiz up out of here. They down 0-1. They're about to go down 0-2 tonight, and your season going to be over in the next 4 days.
They need to dynamite the Heat.
Please, just the core. Yeah. Toss it out.
Wow. Here we done. Go again. He's been doing that for 2 years.
Wow. Save a home done game talking about nights. His Bam going to find the guts. I'm done talking about it.
I mean, the Miami Heat could go 100% from the field, 100% from the three, and they're still going to get swept in this series. Mm. They just don't have the personnel to match up with the Boston Celtics. That's it.
I talked to a person that's high-ranking in the NBA who would know stuff about player evaluation, who said he would take 13 centers over Bam.
Dynamite. Wake the hell up, Heat fans! Okay, you're so far gone from being a contender right now. You are an afterthought.
They do not want to face Boston in the first round and be their first victim. They will probably get swept. I'm going to say that right now if they face them in the first round.
Most people do not believe the Heat will win a single game.
Because this roster is simply not good enough, and it's not good enough by a mile.
That set a tone. I think I'm the most right.
You're insane.
In that group.
You Wait, are we insane. Really, look, did you watch basketball last night?
I watched it, and I'm very happy Miami won. I don't like Boston. I like the Heat. No one.
Well, clearly.
And
no.
I mean no one sweeps a Miami Heat. It's not a thing that happens to this franchise. So I'm also a little disappointed because look at us. You know, we used to reserve these things for finals runs. Right. Now you're like the 1-4-1.
Old man yelling at clouds is what you're doing.
We didn't get swept.
They left early. Like it's a little, if you ask me, a little sad.
It is sad. I thought the same thing.
As part of our scramble this morning, unsuccessful part, I asked for them to find me a banner that read, "We didn't get swept."
That might have been the 1-4-1, but okay. All right. Cool.
I just don't see how you can watch that game and not be apologetic for the way that you've talked about Bam Adebayo and even Tyler Hero for that matter, who now in back-to-back huge games for the Heat, the one that would have eliminated them from the postseason entirely and the one that would have put their backs up against the wall, stepped up and had two of the best games of his entire career as a playmaker.
I'm not going in circles with you guys on Bam.
You're wrong.
He's a fine player, and if you want to regurgitate the spoon-fed bullshit from the Miami Heat that says he's a key
to
the defense.
That's insane. Did you watch the game?
Yeah, I watched the game. I'm not saying he's not a good defender. Look, the Miami Heat have acknowledged that I am right every offseason when they've tried to acquire a star that is better than Jimmy Butler and have failed. All right? Bam Adebayo is the one piece that they haven't actually looked to relinquish. They keep wondering, why are our offers not good enough? It's because you haven't included Bam Adebayo. So if you have faith in this organization to push through and remain a contender, if you have faith in the coaching staff, I'd say I'd probably have a little faith in them potentially replacing Bam Adebayo if they had to. But I am super happy that they beat Boston. I'm super happy that the Boston Celtics fans have to wear that for 2 days. But also, this feels sad to me.
Today does not. I will not allow you to make today.
Unbelievable.
I will not allow you to make today sad because I don't disagree with you, and I don't think anyone disagrees with you. Before last night's game, there was exactly no one saying that the Miami Heat will win that series.
Juju?
I'm sorry. If you guys listen to the Alley-Oop podcast that be on every now and then whenever we feel like doing it, I called this the whole time. I bet last night that the Heat will win. I won $500 last night on the money line Heat win. Yeah. If you listen to the Alley-Oop, wherever you are, if you saw these gas bags, I'm a Celtics fan, but I'm a realist. I said all year, what happens when the damn shots don't fall, tall
That's
man?
It.
What happens when the shots don't fall, Mr. Slick Hair Man? What happens when the shot don't fall, no left hand? So, back to you, Dan. But some people are here, prophets.
Juju, I have been watching what you've been doing post-game, and what I will continue to say as no insult to you, because, yes, there are many people who love Boston who have the post-traumatic stress disorder of still having some fear in them, although you've heard Simmons and Scherr sound a lot more sure than they usually do about this Celtics team. I don't dispute that you have warned and doubted these Celtics about the Miami Heat can beat them in a game. But I've heard no one say that the Miami Heat will win that series. I've heard no one in a credible mainstream position go out on the limb and be alone with Boston will lose this series. I have felt that it is very strange to watch any series of any kind where the consensus is this complete so that in game two of a playoff series, you could be legitimately stunned when a home team loses. The Miami Heat are one of the best road teams in the sport. They were 24-17. It's as good as OKC, as good as Denver on the road. They are excellent on the road. They're not afraid of that team. They've kicked the ass of that uniform a great deal over the last couple of years. Let me give you some of the stats because this is from Cooper Moorhead. The Miami Heat have four playoff games in the past two seasons where they've shot 50% from three. No other team has more than one against anybody.
He's bought and paid for. That's quite literally. He's an employee. What do you want me to do?
But that's also a fact.
It's just a statistic.
That's a fact, though. That's also a fact.
I'll do my own research.
Okay, very good.
Bought and paid for is better than buying to get information. That's all I'm saying.
Boston doesn't play close games.
Kiss my ass. Wow.
If you want to say that you can't break something down because you're a part of a broadcast or because you're part of an organization working for NBA.com, I just don't understand how that's the analysis
I'm just doing a thing. Let's move on.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Keeping things bottled up can feel like carrying a weight that gets heavier with time. Whether it's talking to a trusted friend, journaling, or seeking professional help, finding ways to let out your thoughts and feelings can bring relief and help you navigate challenges more effectively. Remember, it's okay to reach out for help when you need it. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
Summer requires extraordinary hydration that's built for everyday dehydrating moments. Especially in Miami, we know that it gets very, very hot. You go outside for 6 seconds, you're sweating, and you're possibly dehydrated. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. Guys, I love Liquid IV. I get the sugar-free lemon-lime version. They should have my picture on it. How much I drink it, how much I use it. The sugar-free has no bad stuff, only good stuff. I use it when I go to the gym, when I'm playing hoops, when I'm going out on the boat, mix it in with a little bit of ice. Keeps me hydrated all day long. Just tear, pour, and live more. With 1 stick of Liquid IV plus 16 ounces of water, hydrates better than with water alone. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code DAN, D-A-N, at liquidiv.com.
Dan Le Batard.
Teammates can't shoot from three. Now they're gonna see a different Jimmy. Now he's just playing Nickelback in the locker room and
Stugatz.
They'll play D and shoot threes. as they chase the Nets for the sixth seed. These five words in his head scream, are we winning games yet?
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
Look, the thing that happened last night was, with all the bluster and all of the praise that the Celtics received over the weekend and after that game one win, it's basically like they started this game up already 20 points. And you see what the Celtics do when they're up 20 points. They will let your ass right back in the game.
Chance being a mouthpiece, can we get back to the stats? Is that all of them? If I'm a Celtics fan, I am concerned because the blueprint's out there now, and you need the guy that's watching the town every day to come up with adjustments. And it's very clear. All the Miami Heat need to do three more times is set a new franchise record for shooting from downtown.
Well, this is what I will tell you that I was watching last night that I will not get used to no matter how much the sport changes. The idea that in playoff basketball you would allow the Boston Celtics to do what they want around the rim, easy layups, it's just not something I'm used to. And now the move is going to be for Boston. What Juju is saying, what happens when the shots don't fall? Miami was basically saying to Boston, no more threes. That's not how you're going to play, where you're shooting 66% of your shots are threes. 66% of our shots are going to be the threes. And the thing that I was stunned by most last night was not that Miami won, though that was stunning enough. It's that Boston was forced to play a game by another team, a lesser team, an eight seed without their best player, that Boston didn't want to play, which was allowing them easy layups at their rim where Jaylen Brown and Tatum could take off the dribble, Hero and Duncan. And then what they were doing to me was super interesting with Porzingis, which was, you haven't been here. Go ahead and see how those little turnaround jumpers in the key work when you've got the mismatch. We're showing you. Yeah, Tyler Hero's on you. That's Hakez on you. You've got 7 inches on those dudes. You want to turn around and take little turnaround jumpers? Go ahead, Porzingis. Let's see all those Washington games and Knicks games you've played before that aren't this game. You're the third biggest piece, and you've been a perfect fit there as the third biggest piece. But what happens when Tatum's quiet in the fourth quarter? What's happening when Brown is quiet in the second half after that first half? Oh, it's going to be Porzingis and White, is it? Okay. Let's see what you got with Porzingis and White.
There really is something to the Jason Tatum thing, and that was just like a fan opinion in playing against the Boston Celtics in several series. He has these crucial stretches where he goes missing. And then we saw Tom Haberstroh did a quantifiable study on it's actually a real thing. And he is a superstar. He is the first face that you see in the NBA playoffs promo for ESPN. And he just has these strange moments. He idolizes Kobe. And I will say, Kobe never went missing. Like, Kobe may have had bad performance, inefficient performances, but he asserted himself. If that is who you look up to, you got to assert yourself. They got rid of the Marcus Smarts of the world. You're the guy. Be the guy. Even if you don't have it that night, just have the confidence to let your team know that they can still come to you. His body language is terrible. He's rolling his eyes like a child. He needs to find the dog.
Stan Van Gundy accused him of losing his composure and getting frustrated. Stan Van Gundy was hitting the note of, this team doesn't know what close games are like. This team does not know what this Heat feels like when it's close this year.
Jason Tatum's a pretty good asset. Should they trade him?
Oh, Jesus.
Enough out of you. Look, I feel like our tone's
Jeremy,
been
out.
Less than celebratory. Yeah,
out. Not today.
Not today? No, Jeremy, no. You don't
out.
Get to do that. It's the Dan Levitard show.
Out.
Go.
We should be
ridiculous.
Celebrating this victory, even though it's one game,
that's right, Jess.
With no one Ryan Cortez doing what he does best, calling into Boston radio and playing Pitbull songs on unsuspecting radio hosts.
That's a cue for you, Chris Cody. That was her.
He was celebrating his go thing.
Like, we told Jeremy to go, and I hit.
Go!
Yeah, I heard your joke,
yeah,
and then she was making
gotta,
one.
You
were
moving.
I was
you
listening
so,
to Mike Crazy
no,
behind me.
You were
me.
So
like,
busy
good.
Smelling your own farts
no,
that
no,
you didn't
I'll,
hear Jessica
I'll take the
throw
blame
it.
For that.
Yeah.
We're a team here, Dan.
Okay, it's the woman's
we do
fault.
Everything as – you're right. It's Chris's fault.
111-101, game two at TD Garden. Absolutely disgusting. You're supposed to be winning 18 and you're out there laying eggs without their... Let's go to Danny in Cambridge. Danny, what are your thoughts?
Bro, I got to be honest. I am pissed right now. I was watching the game at a Palacio
yes.
de los Jugos.
I cannot believe we got a good game, finally, for once, out of Tatum and Brown both. But, you know, if Joe Mazzulla can't make adjustments, if he's going to lose to Eric Spoelstra in game two, that means to me that the Celtics are playing like...
Thanks, Danny. Danny brought his sound effects.
How does he keep getting away with... How do they not hang up as soon as he said he was watching the game at Palacio de los Jugos? How does he get away with this every time? He is a master at his craft.
He was sleeping in a slumber. It was funny last night to sort of jostle him awake and make him go run toward WEI. We did not know we were going to be able to do any of that this year. I do want to explain to the audience that might not know this, that just because Pitbull sings it culo so happily, it is the word asshole. And so I don't know if the majority of people listening to this know that when Pitbull sings culo, it's asshole. But so what he just did on WEEI is tell the host there that the Boston Celtics played like asshole.
Or just ass.
Yeah, it could be general ass.
I don't think it has area. To be the whole.
When I think of culo, I always think of the whole. I don't think of the entirety of the butt.
When I was growing up, it was just the whole. But then after Pitbull dropped culo, it became the general ass area.
Is that what? Is
Salute to General Booty, by the way. Yeah.
Wait a minute. I was pretty sure that throughout my Cuban childhood, I'll ask Mero this. Mero's going to come through here today. I want to know, throughout my entire life, culo has not been the entirety of the ass. You're suggesting to me that Pitbull changed that so that it went from a smaller surface area to the entirety of the surface area.
Yeah, somewhere in the aughts when Lil Jon and Pitbull dropped culo, it expanded out from the hole to the whole ass.
So you think it's like asshole? Like that's
yeah, asshole.
Not just like butt. Yeah. Ass.
Yeah. That's how you make it mainstream.
Yeah. I think right now the only song about that is Brown Eyed Girl. It went from asshole to whole ass.
Jessica, I appreciate your command of the language. I'm simply saying to you that as a child, whenever it was said in my house by my father or anyone else, I think I've told you guys this story. The word in Spanish for a fish is pescado. In my childhood, my father would wear swimming trunks in the ocean, and then he would do like a handstand where his shorts would fall off, and he would call himself a pesculo. And it wasn't because the word was ass. It was not the entirety of the ass. It was simply the whole.
I know. It's kind of like, you know, when bad became good after Michael Jackson dropped Bad. It's kind of like that.
There's so many people listening who did their first dance with their dad or someone, a loved one at their wedding to Brown Eyed Girl that now are just crying in their car.
Yeah. You guys didn't know that? No, it's totally about the asshole.
Put it on the poll, please. Did you know that Brown Eyed Girl was about the culo at Le Batard Show? And for our Hispanic brethren out there, culo, does it mean ass? Because I did not know this. Or asshole. I thought Run DMC changed. You're saying it's Michael Jackson? I thought Run DMC made Bad good.
I mean, the vernacular is out there, and pop music is just there to give it a megaphone. You know? Did Michael Jackson and Run DMC invent Bad? No. Someone on a street corner did. But, you know, they gave it the platform.
Juju, were you mad at the Celtics last night?
I'm always mad at the Celtics. When I wake up every morning, regular season, like, it's always some room for improvement. This whole season, I knew, like, bro, this record is fool's gold. I've been saying the same thing over and over all season. I know I'm black and you don't listen to me, but it's cool. I've been saying the whole, bro, the Celtics are fool's gold. I love them, but when they get to the playoffs, they always show this same side, and they have to prove something to me.
I have said this year that I didn't think that Barkley's criticism, it feels cruel to me. It feels unfair to dismiss a team as not mentally tough enough, especially a team that has been that historic, that great during the regular season. But this is absolutely a reputation that represents what I believe is this team's only frailty. And I generally don't tend to believe in that as a frailty. Yes, Michael Jordan was a competitive asshole. It was celebrated. A culo. Kobe Bryant was a competitive culo. And Tatum, for his playing style, which is languid, it's all so beautiful. All of us can see, watching him as a skilled player, that that is not something that is made of steel and barbed wire. It is silky and wonderful, and it's ballet in the air. And if you have a question about this team, and I'm telling you, that's not something I do. I don't call people who get to the top of sports mentally frail, because I think it's very hard to get over other people on competition for money. But I understand how it is that a game like last night reinforces that appraisal.
That's why we miss Marcus Smart so much. Like, that's why the true lifers, the true hoopers knew that when we lost Marcus Smart, that was more than just our point guard. That was a dog that we had.
Yeah, but it was a dog that I was happy was shooting wide open threes. I think that they did have to move, and I do think that the Celtics will be better because of this matchup. Now that Jimmy is not there, it's like an old heavyweight rival that is washed that decides to be your sparring partner, and mentally you know that you can clear that hurdle. It's still the Miami Heat uniform, and for Joe Mazzulla, who needs to make some adjustments here, for them to get through that speed bump, that boogeyman, because for many respects, Miami Heat are the boogeyman of the Boston Celtics. This is a shell of what they could be, even at the high end. If Jimmy's healthy and they're playing out of their mind, I still think Boston is better. But the fact that they can get past this and have a little bit of struggle, this will ultimately be good for the Boston Celtics, I think.
The thing that's interesting about their adjustment from game one to game two is that it was essentially adjusting back to what the Heat did to the Celtics last year, which is force the Celtics to play one-on-one. And this is the thing that Juju was concerned about all year long, about them playing late in games in isolation ball. But if you saw last night, Dan, you mentioned they blitzed the Celtics off the three, and their one stretch of the game where they played zone was really the one stretch where the entire Boston offense started to cook, where Al Horford hit a three, where Sam Hauser hit a three. When Boston's just playing iso ball,
I don't think you can beat they. This zone has been effective. I don't think it works against
Boston.
This team, that zone is not something that's going to work very much.
Which is why you saw
much.
Very few Kevin Love minutes, because they need to play zone when Kevin Love is in there. Jovic is the guy that stepped up.
This is one of the things that I would have gotten wrong in my analysis after game one. And it's one of the reasons, Mike, that I don't feel comfortable questioning the expertise of these particular people who have run this city for 20 years, giving us all of our best moments out here. My analysis after game one would have been Kevin Love needs to play more. Okay. That I need more Kevin Love minutes, and obviously that was among the many things I would have gotten wrong.
I think last night Spoelstra and that franchise showed you that they can maximize the talent, and it's a little frustrating that they're not healthy, because I do think that you'd actually have a real legitimate series, and you could lean into the ghost of years past. But look, last night is a testament to Eric Spoelstra. They have a head coaching matchup every time. He's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, to ever do it. And Boston needs to figure that part out.
Exactly. And I think we have one of those dogs on our bench. Sam Cassell, assistant coach. Look out, brother. Joe Mazzulla, you make one false move. Ass.
Asshole.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Dan Le Batard.
All these high-paid analysts. I don't want to mention names. TNT. ESPN, you know, they are dead. They cannot. They're not going to make it. You know, even if they win if they lose in Miami,
I need to calm you down.
If they lose in Miami, they don't got a chance in Boston. Or they are going to have their ass. You know what? In Boston, you know,
Stugats.
They were wrong. Are they going to lose a job? No. Are they going to get a cut in pay? No. What are they going to do? Keep predicting what is the obvious. They're going to say, oh, the Nuggets are going to win. Oh, Denver, the altitude. And you know what? The Heat are going to win it all.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
Again, imagine a totally sleepy firehouse that hasn't had like a lot of activity. Never mind a fire. Every once in a while you get called to get a cat out of a tree or something, but there's never an actual fire. Now all of a sudden, we've gotten everyone in the firehouse awake and running in every direction. We bring in our New York studio. The Heat have won a basketball game in the playoffs. It's all hands on deck for Meadowlark Media. Amin and Charlotte are joining us from New York. They weren't even in New York this morning, but we made them hurry up and get into a studio so that we could laugh at Charlotte's pain. Go ahead and show everybody leaving Boston early. Pat Riley grinning through his fangs because, again, bleep Boston. Charlotte, Amin, they are oddball. They're every weekday except for Monday on the DraftKings Network and at Lebatard Show on YouTube. I encourage you to see the growth of that show. It has found its stride and its voice. It is funny. It is informative. They have great chemistry. Amin, Charlotte, thank you for joining us. First off, though, Charlotte, as a Celtics fan who is now thinking of changing her allegiances to the New York Knicks, how are you feeling today about having the post-traumatic stress disorder of last year dropped on your lap again?
You say it, and my stomach drops, Dan. I feel terrible. I feel very, very bad. I feel very bad. And look, you know, the thing is, I think part of this is that I talked to a lot of Knicks fans the other day, and they were like, I would lick 7th Avenue for Jalen Brunson. And then I watch the Celtics, and there's like one game where they need some vibes, and fans are like, you know what? We're good. Like, thanks for the most historic regular season ever. What are we doing? That's so soft.
Sounds like you're blaming the fans.
You're not entitled.
It sounds like you're blaming the fans.
I'm blaming everybody, Dan. I'm blaming the environment. Everybody. The team looked miserable. And I think that for me, it also made it clear that like fandom is something that as much as you, it's like, oh, it looks fun over there. Like it's ingrained in you. Like I was so pissed last night. I was sitting there. With underbite. I was like,
yeah.
Mad.
Do you sleep with your fists balled up? Like, do you have trouble getting to sleep?
Yes, I have a tension headache this morning. My neck hurt last night as I was going to bed. I just think, like, also, I want to be clear. Like, I never said ever that, oh, this is a foregone conclusion. I did on social media, actually. Yeah.
Amin, what were your thoughts? What did you find interesting? Because the one place that Heat fans, and of course it's easy to look like this when you make all your threes, but the one place that Heat fans do have ultimate confidence of having the biggest mismatch in the entirety of the series, I would say, is, well, we like our coach's chances adjusting to what you do better, because I don't think the Heat have a chance in this series because Miami is worse. That Boston is better at defense than Miami is at offense, and Boston is better at offense than Miami is at defense. I don't mean that as a slight against Miami. I just think that over 7 games, when those things are true, you generally lose, unless I have faith in my coach that in a game 6 or a game 7, he's going to have stuff for you that you don't have.
Yeah, Dan, before I talk about the game, I just want to correct my good friend Mike Ryan. He said Kobe never didn't show up to a game. And I would implore him to look at 2006 Game 7 versus the Phoenix Suns, particularly the second half of that game.
People accused him of quitting, right? Quitting on purpose.
He did that on purpose, no?
He chose it. I mean, he chose to be weak. He chose quitting weakness.
Sure. God rest his soul. I was at the game last night in Boston, and you listen to your whole opening. Sorry for doing my job for you guys. I listened to that whole first segment, and I was staggered that none of you guys talked specifically about what Bam did defensively. I saw a scowl after the game last night. Go ahead and hit it again.
No, that's not good enough.
Hit
for
it.
It. Nope, not
okay.
good.
Okay, I saw Scal after the game, and I told...
Oh, come on. He deserves a look at me, Louie. Like, well, Boston fan here, give Brian Scalabrine the look at me, Louie.
I saw Scal.
I got the look at me, Louie, for being at the game, but not for talking to Scal. My bad. No, so I told Scal...
It's not good enough.
That MF-er right there is the best defensive player in the league. He's not going to win the award. He is the best defensive player in the league, and it's not even close. The moment you show me Rudy Gobert guarding Jason Tatum, not on a switch... Guarding Jason Tatum, guarding Jaylen Brown. Dan, you wondered, how did they bottle up this Celtics offense in the second half? It was Bam Adebayo. And it wasn't just in help defense. It was Bam Adebayo primary defender on Brown, on Tatum, on Porzingis, even guarded Holiday a couple of times. He was fantastic. And you guys know me. I shoot it straight. When I thought he wasn't doing what he could be doing a couple years ago, I called him Idris, right? That dude, you guys gave him a hard time for the play-in game. I thought that was kind of bogus. You guys gave him a hard time for game one. I thought that was bogus. I think he's putting together an incredible run of games here. And just last night, he then added the timely shot-making. So it wasn't an offensive explosion, but it was timely shot-making. And that's exactly what they needed. That's the best defensive player in the NBA, bar none.
So it wasn't your list. We can scratch your name off.
You know what's funny about that? I appreciate you mentioning that today, Jessica, because it's unfortunate that Billy's not here today. And I will remind everyone here, $5.
I'll have five, please.
$5. I will remind everyone here that today, tonight, on NFL Draft Day, that Billy is planning an extravaganza with Stu Gatz that will have Draft Day coverage on our YouTube channel over the course of the evening. But I find it unfortunate that Billy's not here today to enjoy the delight of this. The beginning of that game yesterday, right before it started, I'm settling in for an enjoyment of my evening watching Celtics Heat basketball, and I am engaged in getting furious texts from Stan Van Gundy, who's about to broadcast the game, saying to me, why did you tell people, in what world do you think that I would tell people that Bam is not as good as 13 or 14 other centers. And he's furious at me. And I'm trying to explain to him, no, Billy's doing that on purpose. He's like, Scal told me. I know Scal didn't hear me yelling. I didn't say that about Stan Van Gundy. It wasn't Stan Van Gundy. And so now Stan Van Gundy, before doing that game last night, just because of Billy, is yelling at me, angry, a friend, which is exactly what I was afraid of. And it becomes the same thing that Stu Gatz did to me with Warren Sapp, always saying that Warren Sapp has bad breath, and Warren Sapp now wants to kill me.
It's true, by the way, Dan. I saw Stan Van Gundy last night.
He has bad breath.
No, I saw Stan Van Gundy last night, and he was pretty upset. He was pretty irate.
I'm not making that up. Like, Stan is now mad at me because of what Billy did. Which I knew is what was going to happen.
You could have just said whose list it was.
It's good. You did it. Dan.
I did
you
not
said,
do it.
Someone who said, Dan, you said somebody who's with
but
NBA
ties. But I said
ties.
Four times it's not Stan. Like I said, because
which
Billy kept saying it's Stan.
Doth protest too much.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like you were saying it was Stan by saying it wasn't Stan.
I didn't think it was Stan before, but now I do.
Yeah. For sure, now I do also.
Why would he say that?
It's messed
pretty
up.
Crazy take by him.
Why would anyone
that's really
say
messed
that?
Up. I wouldn't, not even me at my worst bit.
Bam was great on both sides yesterday, and one of the places that he was great, I mean, this is what you've been asking for a long time. You've asked for him to be really aggressive, and every time Porzingis was on him, he was really aggressive. But not only that, every time but one, when the Celtics are creeping back to within seven, within five, within six, you got Robinson missing a three that puts you up 15, and then Hauser hitting a three. You got Robinson missing another three, and then White hits a three, and they get to six, and they get to five. But when you can get it scary, Bam stopped it every time. There were a lot of threes that did it too, but Bam in the middle of the paint just shooting a little jumper confidently by being aggressive in the post in a way he isn't always, it was just as impressive as on offense to me as it was on defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, people are going to look at the box score. They're going to hear us talk and say, did he have 40? No, he didn't have 40, but he hit, as you said, timely shots, and Spo talked about that post-game as well. You also have to give a shout-out to Caleb Martin, who, I was going to say he had the game of his life, except, oh, he already did that last year against Boston.
You can't say that. Boston fans are like, oh, just every game against Boston is the game of Caleb Martin's life. And, I mean, you said something. You said that the one thing that made me feel a little bit better about Boston fans was that no matter what, whenever Caleb Martin's name was said, they booed him.
Every single time his name was mentioned, every time he touched the ball, every time he got in the game, even when he got called for a foul, you'd think they would cheer, yeah, foul on you. Nope, they booed him.
Maybe
they
not
hate Caleb
do that,
Martin.
Boston fans. Can we just keep it cool?
Code
that
red.
Maybe the thing that sparked the damn heroicism. Yep. Mm.
So Jeremy, I hear you say code red. It's funny. I don't know if I'm breaking news here, but allegedly in the Heat locker room before the game, they played the speech several times from A Few Good Men. And then during the game, as Caleb is making these big plays, certain individuals from the bench were yelling out, "Code Red! They ordered a Code Red!"
And Joe Mazzulla's like, "What is that? I've only ever seen The Town."
I have
but
not,
he also actually does watch Whiplash and The Dark Knight. So
I have not seen that Caleb Martin since the last time he played Boston in the playoffs. And it's no knock on Caleb Martin, but he only plays that way against Boston. Boston must have some sort of shell shock on if that guy's releasing the ball from three, it's going in. Because his percentages against them are crazy. Like, it's not, he's one of the best shooters ever against only them. I'm not kidding. Like, I mean, you tell me I'm wrong. Like, against only them, Caleb Martin is to be super feared because, as Stan was saying on the broadcast last night, enraged at me for something I didn't report about him, he was saying again and again, Caleb Martin should have been the most valuable player last year of the Eastern Conference Finals.
He and
I agree.
He and Josh Hart turned on a different level when it comes to these playoffs. Sorry, I mean.
No, my bad, brother. Go ahead. You know, they don't listen to black people on that show so much, so we gotta find a way to share.
Damn right they don't.
Let's talk to a white person about what his opinion is.
Damn it, Dan.
Yeah, Caleb Martin against Boston in his playoff career shoots 48.6% from three. Against everybody else, it's 32.5%. So it really is amazing, but that also has to do with their defensive scheme. They've decided we're going to leave Caleb Martin wide open in the corner over and over and over again. It's the thing that bit them in the first three games of last year's playoffs against the Heat. It's the thing that bit them in Game 7, and now it's the thing that got them in Game 2.
Any final thoughts from Oddball? Again, every weekday except for Mondays on the DraftKings Network and at Lebatard Show on YouTube.
I do think that there's something here, expectations. Like, if everyone says over and over that you're not going to win and you're the Miami Heat and you've got that dog in you, and they said this last year, I was saying, people were like, well, it's different this year. The Celtics are amazing. I'm like, we had this exact same conversation about the Heat last year. We also even had the same conversation about Kulo, whether it's ass or asshole. So this is like, I got real PTSD here, Dan. Yeah, we're in reruns, and I've seen this movie before, and like, I just want everyone in Boston, the team, the fans, like, bring that energy, and nothing is a foregone conclusion here. This is the danger zone. Code Red, danger zone.
Do we have time for a stat of the day? I got a quick one for you.
Go ahead.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is your stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is your stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is your stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is your stat of the day.
Heat and the Celtics have met in the playoffs in their franchise histories six times. All six times, the winner of the series goes to the NBA Finals. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a must-win series for both of these teams.
Before you
otherwise they're out.
Before you get out of here, okay. Charlotte, what's this clip we have from Oddball that I'm throwing it to? What is it?
It's me talking to Knicks fans, Dan, about how much they love Jalen Brunson.
Let's do it.
We are doing a piece on how much New York loves Jalen Brunson.
MVP!
Would you give Jalen Brunson $20?
Give him 40 bucks, give me 40 points.
A dollar a point. That feels cheap. Would you give Jalen Brunson your dollar?
She got vet bills. Take her. She's a prop.
Would you lick 7th Avenue for Jalen Brunson?
7th Avenue uptown or downtown?
They sweat pretty good over here, I think.
Yeah.
All right.
Why not?
This team is really fun, but I'm not a Knicks fan.